News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
The U.S. military carried out massive precision strikes on the three key nuclear facilities in the Iranian regime. Iran's key nuclear enrichment facilities have been completely and totally obliterated. Iran, the bully of the Middle East, must now make peace. If they do not, future attacks will be far greater and a lot easier.
That, of course, is President Donald Trump there during a press conference following the U.S. attacks on Iran's nuclear facilities. Iran's foreign minister promised everlasting consequences from the attack.
It is an outrageous, grave, and unprecedented violation of the fundamental principles of the Charter of the United Nations and international law.
And political advisers to Iran's supreme leader say the game is not over. This comes as Department of Homeland Security has warned of a heightened threat environment for the US. And Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast, joins us this morning. Sean, you and I discussed last week whether or not the US would enter the fray in terms of backing Israel in its assault on Iran's nuclear facilities. We didn't know whether it would or it wouldn't happen. It was impossible to tell, but it has happened. Your assessment of where we're at now.
Yeah, good morning, Ciara. Well, one thing I have to say as a former military guy, you have to be impressed by the scale of what an American superpower can do. You know, you had 125 US aircraft, 24 Tomahawk missiles, 75 precision guided munitions, and those B-2 bombers, I mean, we had speculated one or two might be involved. There were seven involved. You know, the US, I think, only has a fleet of 19 of those. So it was a significant proportion of those B-2 bombers flying the longest flights. I think the second longest flights they've ever done is over 7,000 miles each way. They were doing a sort of 36-hour flight just to deliver these 14 bunker buster bombs. All of which seems to have happened exactly as planned. It doesn't seem as if Iran had any answer whatsoever to it. And the last of those aircraft landed only a few hours ago back in the US. The question, I think, that lies in my mind is, despite what President Trump says, that all of these facilities were obliterated, it was the first time these massive bunker busters were used. And it does depend on what the soil, rock, concrete type was. And I think it'll be some time before they'll be able to do some battle damage assessment to work out whether, in fact, they have taken out this really difficult underground facility at Fort O.
Yeah, and there is some question. I know they have said that it's completely obliterated, but there is some question that perhaps it isn't. And I suppose, as you say, time will tell on that front. Your assessment of where we are now politically, Iran says that they will obviously retaliate. What kind of form might that retaliation take?
Well, I think there's two things here, Ciara. One of which is that you'd expect Iran, they're a proud nation, they will end up having some fiery rhetoric. They've been doing this every step of the way. But the harsh reality is they're in a very difficult situation at the moment. Israel had already kicked the door down and was operating fighter jets over their skies on Western Iran and over Tehran with impunity. I mean, that must be incredibly worrying for Iranians. They had no answer. Their Iranian jets haven't been rising to them. What they have been doing is been firing missiles at Israel. But I note that last night, it was only one missile attack last night because Israel has been hammering away not only the launch sites, but also production facilities for these missiles. So the question is, rhetoric is one thing, but what can you actually do? And one of, obviously, and several of the answers to that question lie in taking on America. But I honestly think that Iran, despite the rhetoric, will be very wary at this time when they are incredibly vulnerable. Why would they now pick a fight with America, knowing that they are incredibly vulnerable? They have got no air defenses anymore. And the regime, ultimately, in Iran, will be looking after its own survival. So it'll be really interesting to see what they do next. Okay. I suspect it'll be relatively low-key.
So militarily, that they are wounded with or without, I suppose, Fordow being completely destroyed. They have voted to shut down the Hormuz shipping channel. So are they more likely, do you think, to try and hit America and I suppose the rest of the world in terms of their economics?
They could do. The Straits of Hormuz is definitely an option, but one has to remember that most of the oil that goes through there actually heads off to China, and China has not been involved in this conflict. They've been quite critical in the United Nations about it. Does Iran want to alienate China by shutting down the Straits of Hormuz? I can't get inside the Ayatollah's mind, so it's very difficult to know. What I would say is, at the moment, I think Iran's got some existential problems. They know that America at the moment was only targeting their nuclear facility. If America was to extend to that targeting list beyond that, I mean, it's difficult enough already with Israel pounding away at its military capability. The last thing it wants is America involved as well. So I think we hold with bated breath. But on the scale of options, I suspect Iran will look at a smaller scale option rather than a bigger, because it does not want to trigger a bigger response from America.
Okay, you mentioned the regime and you know, looking to its own survival. How perilous is the survival of the Supreme Leader and the regime currently, do you think?
I don't think it's very perilous at all. I mean, one thing that air power can do is it can be very decisive at knocking out individual bits of military hardware and equipment. But we mustn't forget that the Iranians have a standing army of about 250,000. They've got another 250,000 that are standing by as reserves. That 1 million strong army won't have been touched at all with any of this bombing campaign. And the army is as much to protect the internally, to protect the regime, as is to fight off your nation's enemies. So I don't think that the Ayatollah will feel particularly vulnerable at the moment. And besides, when you're attacking a country, the country tends to galvanize rather than break up. So I think this talk of regime change is somewhat folly at the moment.
Look, thank you very much for joining us this morning, Sean. That is Sean Bell there, former fighter pilot, military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.